In other words, we live in a time that Satan is trying to hinder the plan of God.
Yes.
So turn in your Bibles, because we're going to talk about rebuking the storms. Let's turn over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And by the way, I do have a brand new Bible. I was forced to obtain another Bible because my pages kept falling out. You know, I was preaching and I'd be walking along with my Bible open and the pages fall out, and then I'd reach to turn the page and it would tear because it was so old. And I had all my special notes in there, you know, and the words, and you know how you don't want to get rid of it. And I had it for many, many years. So, but I've got a new Bible. And so I'm working my way through this. But anyway, in 1 Thessalonians, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, verse number 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 18. The Apostle Paul said this, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul." So Paul's saying, myself, I would have come once and again. But what did he say? Satan hindered us. Now notice this, he didn't say Satan stopped us, but Satan hindered us. What does hindered mean? It means to impede one's course by cutting off his way. The word hinder here means impede one's course by cutting off his way. Now, how'd you get to studying about this? Because I've been hindered. And so I got to studying in the Bible about it. And I said, Lord, what's the way, what's the step, what's the direction that I go? He said, you're not the only one that experienced hindrances. He said, the Apostle Paul, and of course, it's more than one place, but I'm not going to read the whole Bible on the subject, you know. But it said here, Satan hindered us. He said, wherefore we would, talking about verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 2, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Paul said, Satan hindered us. That's what Paul did. Now, he's not praising the devil. He's not glorifying the devil. He just got the fact up there that Satan is doing his best to stop the plan of God and the work of God. But guess what? He cannot stop the work of God. He cannot stop the plan of God. And again, what does the word hinder mean? It means to impede one's course by cutting off his way. You know what I mean? There's no way to go any other direction. That's what he tries to do. Impede your course by cutting off your way. And I've experienced some of that just in the last week and a half or so here. I've experienced some of this, but thank God I am not discouraged. I am encouraged in the name of Jesus. And you can be encouraged. But I take great comfort in the fact that not only have I been hindered, but the Apostle Paul been hindered. Jesus was hindered, but we all come out on top. Isn't that right? So we're not going under, we're going over in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it'll all work out. It's nothing surprising to God. God's on our side. But not only now is Satan trying to hinder me or you or anybody, he's trying to hinder the entire plan of God. He knows his time on earth is short. He knows the time is coming down to an end, and he's doing everything he can to hinder the plan of God, to hinder the body of Christ, to hinder the church. You know, there's a new thing coming out. I don't know if you know about this or not, but it's new, and it's something, it's a new type music that's supposed to take the church by storm. It's something that's supposed to cause you to dance. I don't know if you know about it. You know, the jumping dance and everything. I'm not talking about Holy Ghost. And these people are calling this stuff God. It's DME or DEM or do something or whatever. But I don't know if you've heard of it. Have you heard of this stuff? I'm glad you're sheltered. I don't know how I found out about all this. I'm glad you're sheltered, but it's something called DEM or DC, what, something. Anyway, it's some kind of dance that's supposed to take over the church. It makes God move. Did you know about this? See, that's why you come to these meetings. You say, my God, what? This preacher's out of his mind. No, the church is out of its mind. And I'm talking about these are major, major internationally known ministries that are behind this. that are behind this new, it's a new wave of music, they claim, is going to take the church by storm. That's the prophecy behind it. And it, you know what? I wouldn't doubt some of it. Because, excuse me for having to say it, but most of the church is lost as a goose in a snowstorm when it comes to knowing the will of God and the plan of God. But some kind of new dance music, and it's it's electronic. That's what it is. It's totally electronic. EDM or EDM. It may be something. I don't know. You don't expect me to know everything, do you? EDM or EDME or something. It's electronic. EDM, I think. It may be EDM. That's a word from the Lord. EDM. Electronic dance music. EDM. I believe that's it. But it's all electronic, and it's supposed to take the church by storm. It's supposed to make the Holy Ghost move. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost ain't any of that. It has nothing to do with it. But it's some kind of new thing. I mean, new technology. They're using technology. You know, this stuff is already, you know, you've seen the things that's in the church now. You know, in the church, and a lot of churches today, and again, I'm not here to attack the church. I've come to be nice tonight. I didn't even mean to say any of this. I wasn't going to talk about the EDM, you know, or none of that stuff. And so I don't say things to attack people. I say things to protect people. And really, the truth about the matter is we don't want any of this stuff, but there's so much stuff in the church now that most churches, you don't know whether you're in a nightclub or you're in a body of Christ in a church. I'm just telling the truth. Amen. And a lot of these things that they're dragging in the church today, we invented them in my generation. If you lived through the 60s and 70s, you better thank God. I'm still alive. I'm the only one in my neighborhood, my close friends, that's still alive. The rest of them are dead. Because we come through the drug days and all those kind of things. I survived it by the grace and the mercy of God. But everybody else is dead. But it's some kind of, I think it's EDM or something, I don't know. But it's some kind of new technology just called electronic, and it's supposed to take the church by storm, and it's just the wildest thing you'd ever seen. But these things are what people think is God, and it has nothing to do with God. But I'm talking about hindrances. That's a hindrance to the plan of God. I said, what's wrong with having a little fun? Nothing's wrong with having a little fun, but you cannot have it at expense of grieving the Holy Ghost. And you cannot do that. And that's what these things do. It grieves the Holy Ghost. These things that's going on, it's man trying to come up with a way to get God to manifest himself. But the way you'll get God to manifest himself, the way up in God is always down on your knees. But Paul said that Satan had hindered him. What does hinder mean? It means to impede one's course by cutting off his way. That's what it means. Satan tries to impede the plan of God. But guess what? He's not going to stop the plan of God, because we're going to rebuke the storms and we're going to come through the storms in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're coming out on top every single time without fail. Aren't you glad about that? Turn to Luke chapter 8. Let's look at another scripture. Scriptures you've read before and know. But Satan has tried to hinder. So going through a hindrance is not mean that God is not on your side. Paul the apostle went through hindrances. That didn't mean that God wasn't on his side. God was with him. And here in Luke chapter 8, verse number 22. We're talking about rebuking the storms. Isn't that right? Says, now it came to pass, and this is Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Says, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, he said, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. Let me stop right there. If you got a word from God to do something, certainly you're not going to have no trouble doing it, are you? If you've got a word from God to do something, you're not going to have no opposition, are you? The enemy's not going to come against you, is he? He's not going to try to stop you or impede your course or try to stop your way. He said, let us go over into the other side. And what did they do? And they launched forth. They went to obey the word. Isn't that right? But verse 23 says, but as they sailed, he, speaking of Jesus, fell asleep. there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. 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 This is not that TV program. This is not what they're talking about. It's not the TV program. But anyway, they were in jeopardy. Isn't that right? The word their life was in great danger because they were obeying the word of the Lord. Isn't that right? And you would think that there would be no opposition. Well, now we'll ask this question. Did this storm of wind, did it come from God or did it come from the devil? It come from the devil. Isn't that right? Well, because the God himself, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, gave the word. So he's not going to do anything to impede their way. He's wanting to go to the other side. Isn't that right? So here's the devil trying to get in the middle of the plan of God to try to stop them and impede their course. Isn't that right? Hinder their course. He says, and this, he fell asleep, Jesus did, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. In other words, we are about to die. Look, even though you're in the midst of the storm, you're not going to die. Even though it looks like that you're not going to make it, Jesus has always got a way where there is no way. He said, how do you know? I've been there. And in this a storm that I'm going through now, it's nothing compared to some storms that I've been to and through in the past. And the storms that he brought me through in the past is nothing compared to what he's going to take me to through in the future. Amen. Regardless of what the enemy tries to do. But he said, Master, Master, we perish. In verse 24, then he, Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. The devil may kick up a fuss, but Jesus Christ will bring a great calm if we will exercise our faith and believe God. Verse 25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And says, and they being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Now in verse 25, they're talking about the winds and the water obey Jesus. But he was asking them in verse 25, where is your faith? In other words, the wind and the water should obey you too. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. But you've got to rebuke the storm. Notice this. We don't have any record of the disciples rebuking the wind or saying anything to the water. So they didn't get any results. The way you get results is by speaking to the storms in your life. What opposition is coming your way? Don't stand there and say nothing. Arise and rebuke the storm in the name of Jesus. Now let's look in Mark chapter 4. This other passage of Scripture that coincides with this passage of Scripture. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. See it in a little different light. Same event, but written by two different individuals, two different books of the Bible. In Mark chapter 4, verse number 5, it says, in the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Again, let me point out to you, Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, was he not? Isn't that what the Bible says? So you could say this is a word from God. Somebody said, prophesy to me. Well, he prophesied, let us pass over to the other side. Well, if you've got a word from God, ladies and gentlemen, certainly it's going to be easy to fulfill it. There's not going to be any challenges. There's not going to be any opposition. There's not going to be anything that comes against you to try to stop you. That certainly should be true. But it's not Bible. Isn't that right? The Bible says here, let us pass over to the other side. In verse 36... it says, when they went, had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm. Say great. Great. How come it couldn't be just a little bitty storm? Has to be a great storm. Yeah. Now this great storm is coming against what? The word of let us pass over into the other side. He said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. In other words, it just beat against the ship. It was filling the ship up. Now, when we think of ships, we think of these gigantic cruise ships or some of these that come into the port, you know, and haul materials across the water. But these ships they're talking about was little bitty boats. I saw them in a museum over there. And they was not very big. It was on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. You could eat Peter's fish over there. Anybody ever had Peter's fish? You had Peter's fish? You had Peter's fish? I had Peter's fish? And you had Peter's fish? Oh, Peter's fish. What is Peter's fish? Well, Peter's fish, when they bring it to you, I don't know, the one they brought me was about that long. It was, how long was yours? So if mine wasn't that big, well, you got shorted. You had to get it. It was about that long. And they brought him head and all. Isn't that right? Remember that? He's looking at you, you know. And some of them said, oh, I don't want it this way. So they took it back and cut the head off. You know what I mean? But when they bring you Peter's fish, you know it's a fish. You don't have to wonder whether it's a fish because it's got head and all. And it's laying up there on that plate. And you got the Sea of Galilee out there. So I was there where Peter's fish was at. And these boats, they got a little museum. Did some of y'all go to that museum over there where they had them little boats in there where Jesus and the disciples went in? You went there. I think it was on that side of the shore over there, around down there, you know, over here and over there. That's where it was at. But anyway, I went in that little museum and I couldn't believe the little old boats that they were talking about going out on that big lake in, you know what I mean? And by the way, they lied to you in the Bible, and forgive me for having to tell you, but they said the Sea of Galilee, it's just a giant lake is what it is, you know. Just the writers didn't know what a lake was, you know. But it's a big one. So anyway, this little boat that they were in, we think of ships, we think of a gigantic ship. It wasn't a gigantic ship. I mean, this thing, they were in peril. And the Bible says they were in jeopardy in the other passage. Isn't that right? And here they said they feared for their life. I mean, because they thought they was going to perish and that they were going to die. It says the waves, verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship. And of course, when you think of ship, we're talking about of a boat now. Not a big ship. So that it was now full. It filled up with water pretty quick. It says, when he was in the hinder part of the ship, Jesus was, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? See, they realized and they thought that they were going to die, that they weren't going to make it. They weren't going to fulfill the word of God. But Jesus always has a way for us to make it. Amen. Verse 9. It says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. We got to rebuke the storms that come against us in our life. Notice the disciples did not rebuke the wind. They did not speak to the sea, and so there was not a great calm. Jesus expects us to speak to the winds of adversity that come our way. The waves that come our way, rebuke them in the name of Jesus and say, I'm going to the other side regardless, and nothing is going to stop me. Amen. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, why haven't you got up and rebuked the wind and said something to the sea? Verse 41 says, they feared exceedingly. They were amazed. They were astonished and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And of course, the other astonishment that Jesus had is why they realized that it would obey them too. But unless you rebuke the storm and command it to be still in your life and the opposition that comes, then the storms will overcome you. But notice when Jesus rebuked this great storm, there became a great calm. Isn't that right? So even though there's storms all around, you can have a great calm in the midst of what the enemy is trying to do because we have authority over him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I began to experience some of these things even years ago when I was in prison. You know, most of you know that I spent over 10 years of my life behind prison bars. Of course, I was totally set free, born again, got right with God on my third escape from prison the first week of May of 1982 over in Galveston, Texas. And then, of course, I turned myself in, pled guilty to a bunch of felony charges that I had. And then later on, about 2.5 years later, following God's word, obeying His plan, I was released from prison on parole. And of course, in 1993, after being out of prison for 9 years, I was granted a full pardon by the government here in our land, which means all my crimes have been washed away in the ink of the government, just like my sins have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I began to encounter great opposition there when I was in that prison. In fact, it came to the point that I got to the place that, and I have to tell on myself, everybody likes for me to tell on me, they don't want me to tell on them. But I got to the point that I actually despaired of life because the spiritual opposition was so great. And I'm not bragging on the devil. I just didn't know how to come through it. Nobody had ever taught me. Nobody had ever trained me how to do it. And of course, the Lord has a way of training us. I knew what the Bible says. But, you know, living what the Bible says and knowing what the Bible says is two different things. And so the Lord was trying to get me to live what the Bible says. But I got to the point after seeing two of my best friends stabbed to death for the sole purpose that they would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the only reason, because they were preaching the gospel, living for Christ, and there were demon-possessed people all around us. In fact, I don't know if you notice it or not, that's why they have cages in prison. They lock people in cages because a lot of them, not all of them, we're not talking about your loved ones if they're there. There's some wonderful people there that's just got on the wrong path, but there's a lot of demon-possessed people in prison, and I can tell you, because I was there, and I was one of those people at one time that was out of my mind until I came to the Lord and I got set free. But the opposition became so great that I actually was walking across a prison yard one day. And I'm talking about spiritual opposition. I'm not talking about something natural. I mean, it's just spiritual. In fact, the only way I can tell you is you have to experience it to know what I'm talking about. But the opposition became so great, and spiritual darkness and oppression, it just seemed like that my prayers would get to the top of my head if that far. Seemed like that I never, you know, could seem like that God was with me, because He was there the whole time. And it was a faith walk, a faith adventure, which He eventually taught me. But I remember walking around the prison yard, and of course I look back regretting that I'd done it. But I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, I can't take this anymore. Lord, I can't put up with this anymore. The opposition is so great. Lord, I said, just let me. I said, Lord, I'm not praying to die. I said, but Lord, just let me come and be in heaven with You. I said, Lord, I don't think I can do this no more. I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm seeking God. We're seeing people born again, demons coming out of people, people being healed, the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But still there was gifts that the enemy was just coming against me day after day. An oppression. My life was being threatened by the Muslim people. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Yes, there in prison was being threatened because I was telling them that Allah and Jesus were not the same. And it wasn't God. I was telling them I made the mistake of telling them that Allah was a demon spirit. You know, and you know, they don't like to hear that. I don't know if you know it. But Allah does exist, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know that. But Allah is a demon spirit. He makes them bow down to Him 5 times a day. He makes them do it. He does exist. And He is a God, but He's not the God. He's a God in the realm of the spirit, little g, because they make Him their God. But He does exist. But He's a demon spirit. They call Him Allah. But He's not the God that we worship. He's not nothing to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I made the mistake of letting that particular thought or idea come out of my mouth. And of course, I didn't think that up. The Spirit of God showed me during the time of prayer about Allah. Because I thought, well, He's just a fictitious imaginary figure that they're worshiping and calling Him God. And God said, no, that's not true. He said, Allah does exist, but He is a demon spirit. And that's why He forces them to bow down to Him. And that's why they try to force you to bow down to Him. That's what it's all about. Force. Isn't that right? Killing people, stabbing people, blowing up people, running cars into people. Isn't that right? It's all about making you do something against your will. And that's how that demon operates. It operates in them, and that's why they want to make you do it, because the demon operating through them is working through them to get you to do that. So I made the mistake of saying that to them also. And of course, I learned later, you know. You learn if you stay alive long enough. You learn there's a time to say some things and a time not to say some things, you know. There's a time to be silent. There's a time to speak out boldly and just do what God says. You know, one time, God told Paul, you better get out of here, buddy. Isn't that right? He said, you better get out of here. Isn't that right? He told him, get out of here. You done said too much, boy. You got a big mouth. You better get out of here. Isn't that right? He told Paul, the apostle, the Lord did. Yeah. Said, get out of here. Because he was experiencing opposition. Yeah. Well, I was in prison, so I couldn't get out of here. not the way they wanted me to anyway. I mean, and so I was just saying, Lord, just take me on this opposition here. I mean, just spiritual opposition, spiritual oppression. Then you say, Brother Randy, you know anybody else of any stature that's ever experienced anything like that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. There's some people right here that know somebody was right there when he was doing it. And that was Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin himself. Back in 86, remember that? 86, he was praying. And over into 87, he was praying, if you recall, that the Lord would let him come home. He said he experienced more opposition during that time because the Lord was trying to transition him into another phase of ministry. And the enemy was trying to keep him out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord is transitioning us into another phase of ministry. And the devil's trying to keep us out. But we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're not going to throw in the towel. But I remember being in a service, and you was probably there too. I know some of you were, when Dr. Pippins walked up to the front. Remember, he wore plaid pants, plaid shirt, plaid coat, and he wore flood breeches. You know what I mean? It was always about 4 inches, 3 or 4 inches too short. So if it flooded, he wouldn't get wet on his britcher legs. But he was very, very educated. He was a doctor of education, and him and Brother Hagin just hit it off. But he knew the Holy Ghost. And he walked up to the platform, remember? And I was watching Dad Hagin trying to read him. If he was there, I was trying to. But Dad Hagin had a poker face. And he began to prophesy to Dad Hagin about, you're not going to go here. It's not time for you to leave yet. You know, it's not time for you to go. And of course, nobody knew what Dad Hagin was going through because he didn't tell anybody. And then he started prophesying about God reversing his age. Remember that? Remember Dr. Pippins? He was standing down there at what we call now Rooker Memorial Auditorium. He started reversing his age and reversing his time and how it was going to get easier and you're not going anywhere. It's not time for you to go now. And then later on, remember, Dad Hagin, after he come through the storm, he got up and gave his testimony about it. And he talked about that night and how that prophecy from Dr. Pippins caused him to be calm in the midst of the storm. He had a word from God. He hung on. One night, I was preaching at camp meeting. And the Spirit of God came on me. He had invited me to speak at camp meeting, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And I remember I'm preaching across this way, that platform, and that was down at the Tulsa Convention Center. I was running across here, and the Spirit of God had me turn around. And when I looked, I seen Dad Hagin. And the Spirit of God just said right through me to him. I looked at him eyeball to eyeball. I thought, my God, later, why did I do that? I said, God has strengthened you for the journey. It's not time to quit now. And turned around, started preaching. I said, oh, my God, they're going to fire me. But later on, he told me in the speaker's room, help me, son. Help me, son. He's human just like we are. And it wasn't me helping him, it was God, because I had no idea. But it was during that same time in the Spirit of God. But he was also in that place of opposition. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason there's so many devils is because we're going to a new level. I said, we're going to a new level. And if you don't want to encounter opposition, you're in the wrong class. You better go back, read the sign on the door. Read the sign. I mean, if you're going to a new level, and I'm not here to glorify the devil, but he is not going to just lay down and roll over and play dead while you go out and step into a new anointing that's going to help people and change people's life. The anointing's not about lifting us up. It's about lifting him up. The gifts are not about lifting us up. It's about lifting him up. And the gifts have been stifled in their operation, mostly in the body of Christ. Mostly they're not allowed to operate. I've been in churches where they actually ask me not to allow, don't speak in tongues, don't pray for the sick, don't give an altar call for salvation. They told me that. I said, told me that. And these are big churches that once followed the Holy Ghost, and Dad Hagin actually went to their churches. Went to their churches. I just came out of Ontario, Canada. Just came from up there. A couple of weeks ago. I don't know, just everything's kind of in a blur because lots has happened, you know. But I just came back from Ontario, Canada. And one of the things I was reminded of is about a gentleman. While I was there, it was the talk amongst some ministers, and I just happened to be there where these ministers were. were talking about the minister and asked me, did I remember this particular minister that used to attend all of Dad Hagin's Holy Ghost meetings? I mean, come to the States and, you know, in Canada, sponsoring when Dad Hagin would come up there in the Ontario area and Mississauga area around Toronto, and he would sponsor his meetings, all kind of stuff, help him out and all that. But when, as soon as Dad Hagin moved on and went to heaven, you know, it didn't pass away, he just moved to the other side. But when he moved to the other side, one of the first things he done is he gathered up all the materials that he had, study materials, tapes. And back in those days, you know, they had tapes. You know, y'all remember the, you know what a tape is? I was looking at the babies over here. I don't know. I guess they know what a tape is. I don't know if it was CDs and any of that. And anybody remember 8-tracks? Yeah. Hallelujah. 8-tracks. We got them now. We know them. But anyway, this minister boxed up all the materials of Kenneth E. Hagin Ministries, every one of them, and sent it back to the office and said, this move is over now. And we're not going this way anymore. But anyway, I knew this individual personally. In fact, I consider him to be a friend of mine. But this man just absolutely turned and went the other way. Because now he said, it's over. No, it's not over. We've only just begun.
Amen.
What we're doing is we're walking in a heavenly vision. Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin was called to bring some things to pass in this earth that just would start through him. Not be finished by him personally, but be finished by those that were called to follow in his footsteps. But that there's a plan, a heavenly vision that must come to pass. It's not following a man, so to speak, but it's following the heavenly vision. Paul told King Agrippa in Acts 26:19, he said, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. But many have gone to the wayside. Many have said this don't exist. In fact, I was just told there in Canada by talking about a major, major, major ministry here in the United States, because this minister was in this pastor's church, and I was doing a meeting for this particular pastor. I was doing the 20th anniversary speaking there at that church. But he said, well, this minister said that no longer are they going to follow what Dr. Kenneth Hagin said, even though that's where they come from, you know. But they got their own vision today, they got their own plan today, and they're going their way, and so they don't want nothing to do with it. And of course, this individual was telling me because they were distraught, because they were hurt, because, and then of course the pastor's wife, he said she spoke up, she was very bold. You know what I mean? He said she's bolder than I am. And told these individuals, because they was eating lunch with them, you know. And told these individuals, well, we're following the mandate that came through Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. We're following the heavenly vision that came through Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And they said, oh, by the way, Randy Greer is too. I said, why'd you have to get me in trouble? Why'd you have to get me in trouble? Leave me out of this. I've got enough. It's called double trouble. When they're in trouble and they want to get you in trouble, they call it double trouble. You know what I mean? Why did you have to put my name in there? And she said, I don't know why. It just popped out. She said, I wasn't even thinking about you. But she said, you've been an encouragement to us, because they got discouraged, you know? Because they thought, well, you know, maybe they are right. Because, you know, you'd hear it enough. If you get told enough that it's over, it's gone, forget it, you know, just close the door and go to the house, turn the lights off, you know, you start believing that mess. And then you hear voices out here saying, no, it's not over. We ain't even got started good yet. I mean, there's a move of God that's being lost to this generation. I mean, a move of the Spirit that'll be lost to this generation, because the church as a whole is turned away from it, because they said we're going with our own vision. And that's exactly what they said that they were told. They said, we got our own vision now, our own plan now, and we're not doing anything related to that anymore. Of course, this pastor and his wife were highly disappointed. And of course, the pastor's wife boldly spoke up. And of course, I asked the pastor I was talking to, I said, well, what did their reply? He said, they just looked at him strangely. And the other meeting ministers that were sitting there looked at us with a scowl on their face. Like, how dare you say that? You know what I mean? And of course, we're not against anybody. We're for the Holy Ghost, though. Yeah. And I'm going to stand for Him, going to stand for the power and the anointing of God. And so there's storms that come against the body of Christ. There's storms that come against anybody. There's storms at every level. There's devils that don't want us to get there. But that doesn't mean He's going to stop us. He tried to hinder Paul, didn't he? The enemy did. He tried to impede his way by cutting off any avenue that he could go that way. But he cannot stop him. And remember, the Lord told Paul, you better get out of here. They're coming for you, buddy. You done talk too much now. I'm here to tell you, if you are encountering opposition, you're probably in the right place. If you're not encountering opposition, you're probably in the wrong place. But hallelujah, you're going to overcome every single time without fail. Every bit of the opposition I've come up against, I came through every single time. I was talking about in that prison I was in. I prayed, Lord, let me go. But, of course, He didn't let me go and come on home. He gave me the ability to stand during the storm. Just like He did with the disciples. And He said, let's go to the other side. And I went to the other side. Amen. Now the Lord picked me up. He strengthened me just like He did Dad Hagin during the 86 and 87. And if you remember back during that same time, during the satellite seminars, remember Jesus appeared to him one evening. Remember on the platform up at, now we call it RMA. Remember that? He started talking to Jesus in tongues. I remember my wife and I was there, you know. Sometimes she sees things that I don't see and everything. But Brother Hagin said, there's Jesus standing right here. Don't you see Him? Because my eyes was bugging out. I'm looking for Jesus. He said, don't you see Him? You remember that? He was standing right there on the platform. He said, there's Jesus. He says, now, Lord, He says, some things I need to talk to you about. He said, but they don't need to hear it. Y'all remember that? Yeah. And so they began to talk back and forth. And I think it was Sister Jeannie Wilkerson. Got involved in this, I believe, somehow, didn't she? It might not have been the same night, but she was in that meeting. And there was prophecies that took place. And they prophesied back then. And she was talking about things that would happen and transpire. But God is a supernatural God. But Dad Hagin himself had despaired, of his own life. He was saying, what in the world am I going to do? How am I going to make it? Well, we can get down and out. We can decide that we're going to praise God and shout.
Amen.
And I've just decided to take the high road.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to get down and out. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to worry about it at all. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to do just like Dad Hagin when he was building Rhema. You remember that? I don't know if Sister Millie was reminding me of that when she wrote me back about the school and all that. But anyway, Dad Hagin, you know, was building Rhema. One of his preacher friends came. And they said, Brother Hagin, how in the world can you do all this? All this money. He's just looking at the money you got to pay, you know, millions of dollars to build all these buildings. He said, oh, you must be under such a burden, such a load that you're carrying. And Brother Hagin's riding around on a golf cart with him, you know. And he was known to hit some cars, you know. I don't know if you know it or not, but he did bang a few every now and then. Over at camp meeting one time in that parking garage at Doubletree, he had a car over there. I don't know, I was telling on him, you know what I mean? We got him out of jail, though. I mean, but, oh, you know what I mean? He gets lost in the spirit. Where am I at, you know? But Brother Hagin, here he is. And what was I telling you about before I got in the car? Heavy burdens. He was saying that, yes. Remember the heavy burdens. Heavy burdens, Lord. Heavy burdens. That's what this preacher was saying. You got a heavy burden. He said, oh, no. He said, there ain't no heavy burden whatsoever. He said, it's the Lord doing this. He said, if the Lord ain't big enough to put it over, he said, I'll just go around the country and tell him. He said, he ain't big enough to put it over. You remember that? He said, I'll just tell him, you know, that the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, I ain't got no burden at all. I'm not worried one bit. He said, I'm not going to miss one night's sleep. I'm not going to miss one meal whatsoever. In other words, he ain't going to do no fasting about it, no nothing, worrying himself through it. He said, if God's not big enough to put it over, he said, I'll just go around the country and just tell everybody that the Lord wasn't big enough to put it over. And the Lord didn't want him to do it, so the Lord put it over. But let me balance this out. He knew it was the Lord's will, too. You know what I mean? But he also knew how not to take the care and the weight of the situation on himself. And I had to learn that myself, because I have been one in times past to take the care and weight, wonder, worry, work this out, try to do this, try to make this happen and make that happen. But I just decided just to put it in the hands of the Lord, and He's big enough to put it over. Isn't that right? And so you need to take that attitude into your life, that He's big enough to put it over. He's the one that's going to see you through the storm. If He gave you a word and said, let's go to the other side, you're going to the other side. You may have to rebuke the storm. You may have to rebuke the wind. You may have to rebuke the waters, but you're coming out on the other side. And the enemy may have hindered us, but he's not going to stop us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you.
I know you were blessed by this message. If you would like to receive more information about Randall Greer Ministries, or if you'd like to receive our free newsletter, just let us know. We'd be happy to send it to you. Just write us at Randall Greer Ministries, P.O. Box 2227, Owosso, Oklahoma 74055. Or you can contact us at our website, www.rgm.me. And remember, God is always with us.